Good morning, everybody. July the 1st, 2021. This is CA, your on-air personality on the iHeartRadio Network. How is everybody doing on a Thursday? That's right, Thursday. Getting ready for our long holiday as we get ready for the 4th of July. Yay! Get to watch fireworks with your loved ones, maybe your family. And we get to celebrate our independence. And that's always fun, too. And this year is going to be kind of special because COVID is getting cleared up. At least we're continuing to hope and pray that it does. But please be safe out there. If you guys are out traveling, we're going to be praying later this week for safe driving travels for you all. Whether you're going out to the country or visiting family or just going traveling at different destinations. 'Tis the season for traveling. I know that for a fact. All right, before I tell you what's going to happen on our show today, I want to remind you guys that you can always email me if you have any questions, comments, suggestions. Our email address anytime is morningsbrew@gmail.com. Again, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Also, you guys can like me on my Facebook page. Feel free to do that. I just don't mind at all. You can do it anytime. And that email address, I'm sorry, the Facebook page address is you search up the Morning Brew Christian Podcast, okay? And just check that like button and tell everybody around the whole entire universe about us. The more the merrier. We do live cast. Having issues with one of our technical phones there, so we're going to have to try to work on that. Just bear with me because some of the audio, I think on one of my phones that we're having to do that on when we do our live cast, I'm probably going to have to get another one here pretty soon. So, and it causes some kind of funky noise. So if you guys can just hang in there, we will get one just as soon as we can for you, where you can kind of see some of my live cast. We got special guests still coming up. It has been just a busy year in 2021, and 2022 is going to be just loaded full of weddings. Great and marvelous things are happening for the Hall family and for the fiancés out there. More things are going to be announced. You guys are just going to be amazed at how God has just really took things and just started planning and expanding things as well. Okay? Anyway, let's talk about what's going to happen on our show. What do you say? I'm ready to talk about it. All right. Well, today we've got, they're in the studio here at Faith Studio One, the iHeartRadio studio in beautiful downtown Fort Worth, Texas. You got it. Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Also, Bus Captain Bill. We haven't talked to Bus Captain Bill in a long time, have we? So we got the bus captain here. They're drinking them some coffee. Also, great Christian music. I got a great Bible devotion here in a bit. I'm going to read to you. It's called Sincere Devotion. And we're going to go back to my biblical archives. Why the Bible says that two are better than one. Hello. This is going out for all the ones that are married, all the ones that are getting married, all those wonderful, lovely fiancés out there that are just waiting for that special day when you're interconnecting with your other fiancé and you're becoming equally yoked. Again, why the Bible says that two are better than one. You're going to really enjoy that Bible teaching. All right, are we jumping jack ready? All right, let's get jumping jacks. All right, get those arms stretched out. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's roll. Okay, so today's Bible devotion is on sincere devotion. The book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, Scripture simply says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Gentleness is self-control." Now, we should seek to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, shouldn't we, friends? Or to put it more accurately, we should allow the Holy Spirit to produce His fruit in our lives. You say, "I am powerless to produce such fruit." Well, you don't know how weak and self-centered that even I am as a person, and it would be utterly impossible for me to do the same. With that, I agree that we can't produce this fruit in our own strength, but think about this. When the Spirit of God dwells in us, He has control in our lives. He will produce that fruit. Always remember that. In fact, our responsibility is to cultivate the soil in our hearts through sincere devotion and surrender, so He might find favorable ground to produce His fruit. I might have a fruit tree in my yard, for instance, but if the soil isn't enriched, then the bugs carefully destroy it, right? It is not yielded a full crop. So what keeps the Holy Spirit from producing His fruit in your life? That's my question to you and something for you to think about. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and I think it's time to get Bus Captain Bill. He's ready. Let's get him, then we'll get the deacon. Stand by. There we go. Playing a little bit of music. What do you say? Let's give him a cheer. I also want to give him a round of applause. Let's give him some Thursday morning crow. That's right. All right. I think he's funny. Let's just laugh at him. Somebody whistle at him too, by the way. All right. Drum roll. Get ready, Bus Captain Bill. Fanfare. Countdown 10, for the Bus Captain.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There he is, your friend, my friend. It's been a little while. Bus Captain Bill. Hello, Bus Captain Bill. How are you?
CA, I am doing just fine. And hello, friends. How you doing? It's so good to always be on the Morning Blue Christian Podcast Show on iHeartRadio. CA, I have been so busy, my friend.
I bet you have. And COVID's been kind of clearing up a lot. Are you guys running your buses?
CA, that's what I've been wanting to tell you guys, that we have been running our buses. And so far, so good. We still kind of skip a seat every so often. And then we Lysol, we clean. And everything seems to be going good. The kiddos still have to wear the mask, but we're fixing to do it by choice, especially with the heat. Now we got air conditioning inside our buses. Times are changing, my friend.
I bet they are from the last... Goodness, it's been a while since you've ran that church bus, hasn't it?
That's right. It's been a very long time. And you know what? I got to tell you, it's very interesting to see how buses are kind of made when you go to the 1970 bus to the year 2021.
Yeah. I can't imagine. And, let me just say this before we get ready to get the deacon on. Because he's sitting over here like a stuffed toad now. Nobody say nothing, okay? He's getting him another cup of coffee. He's kind of throwing his finger, and in a nice way, the finger throwing in a nice way. Like, hang on, CA, I'm coming. So he's been wanting to do a little round table. But before we do, Bus Captain Bill, I want to tell you the 1970 buses now. My dad, you know, he was a bus captain. And the late James Greenlee was one of his helpers. He had many of them. And to be honest with you, those buses break down all the time. Now, I can only imagine what a 1970 bus and a 2021 bus would even be.
CA, it is state of the art, and that's all I got to say about that.
Well, sounds good. All right, let's get the deacon on, folks. What do you say? Everybody's fan favorite. The deacon. Stand by. Okay, there we go. Probably enough intro music for that gentleman, let me tell you that. Before I get ready to introduce the deacon, and deacon, stand by. I just had a late flashback, Bus Captain Bill.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I did.
WCW, or what was called Royal Class, when the Von Erichs, the late Von Erichs, I knew all of them, actually. They're great people, even Papa Fritz. Back when they did the wrestling, one of them would wrestle, I think it might have been David, the late David, the first son to die, and then, and I think maybe Kevin and Kerry, and they would wrestle Iceman King Parsons, and that We Are Family always came up. Isn't that amazing?
It is, CA, it is. All right, Deacon's getting ready. I better let you get going here.
All right, sounds good. All right, let's give a cheer. Gotta make it fair. Give a round of applause for him. Morning, Crow. Y'all go ahead and laugh at him, will you? He's hilarious. Whistle at him, too. All right. Drum roll. Get ready. Fanfare. Countdown for the deacon.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There we go. Your friend, my friend, all the way from Tyler, Texas, the Castleberry Baptist Church, Deacon Paul Brown. Hello, Deacon.
Well, hello there, CA, and hello, everybody. I hope everybody's doing okay out there at the iHeart Radio land. And it's so good to be on this always, at least when I can, once a week on the Burning Boo Christian Podcast Show. And here I am sitting over here, not too far. Now, CA, I'm a little social distance. That's right, you have to still be a little bit of social distance. Yeah, because we got Bus Captain Billy over here.
Well, then he don't like to be called Bus Captain Billy. He likes to be called Bus Captain Bill.
Well, Bus Captain Billy now, see, eh? That's what, you know, just like I call Coach Stanley. Stanley, even though it's Dan.
Okay. Bus Captain, are you cool with that?
See, eh, whatever he wants to call me is fine. I just pray for my dear brother over there. What do you mean pray for somebody like the deacon? I'm a cool man, you know what I mean? And I am the lead deacon of the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas, and I'm also the choir director of the Castleberry Baptist Church.
I know, in Tyler, Texas.
That's right, CA. Put that plug in.
Okay. And you can catch him online, too, right?
Sometimes, if the line's working.
I got you. I got you, buddy. All right. Deacon, we got you here. We got Bus Captain Bill here. And, you know, I won't be talking to you guys till the next following week after the 4th of July. But, Deacon, I heard you want to talk a little bit about fireworks, and you want to ask Bus Captain Bill a couple of questions. Then you want to ask me a couple of questions. So I'll try not to make it too lengthy because I've got a great lesson lined up. Plus, we got some music in between. So go ahead and take it away, buddy.
All right. Now, Bus Captain Billy, let me ask you a question. Yeah, go ahead. That's not a problem at all. Okay. Now, do you like the sparklers? Oh, Deacon, I love the sparklers. The sparklers are nice. And I tell you one thing. When me and the kids, you know, we go out to on the bus and we go out to open land where it's safe. And we do the sparklers. Well, let me tell you something. Over in Tyler, Texas, there's a lot of open land there. Bus Captain, we'll be nice this time. Bus Captain Bill. There is some nice areas that you could kind of shoot fireworks. Now, my second question is do you like launching fireworks?
Now, wait a minute, Deacon. Everybody's a little different. It's kind of like Baskin-Robbins. We all kind of have different flavors and different things we do. Now, that may be a personal question that Bus Captain Bill may not want to answer.
Well, see, I don't mind answering it at all. Now, when I was a teenager, Deacon, what I did do was I did wind up having to, you know, my mama wouldn't tell her anything about it, but yet I would go out there and I would launch off fireworks at an open land.
Oh, you do that without getting in trouble, without getting a spanking?
That's right, because my mom is a good mom.
There you go. All right, well, that answers that question. Now you want to ask me a couple?
CA, when are you going to, this is not even a question, but I got to ask you, when are you going to come up and visit me and we go eat the Turnip Cafe? They got a July special right now, and it's called a Fireworker Special with a chicken fried steak, mashed potatoes, butter corn, or whatever you want. Top it off with some pumpkin pie, apple pie, but maybe even some brownies.
Ooh, wow. You're going to fatten me up, buddy.
Well, ZA, I'm just trying to help you out. You know, you'd be making that long drive come see Deacon.
Well, you know what? It won't be around the July 4th weekend, but maybe sometime I can make a special trip out there to see you.
Sounds like a win, and that is one question I was going to ask you. Okay? Have you ever lodged fireworks?
I did when I was younger. When I was a teenager and younger, my late grandfather, had some open land, which he doesn't have. They don't have no more. The land's been sold and everything. So, yes, we'd go out in the open land. We'd launch off fireworks, and it was beautiful out there in Bellevue, Texas. Way out in the boondocks.
Wow, I wish I could have went.
I know, my grandfather, we'd go out there and shoot guns. We'd do everything. We had a great time. But those are a lot of memories that, you know, I'm always going to keep to my heart. But thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, before I get ready to go, and it was just a short visit because I know you got a long, different things you kind of got going.
That's right.
I just want to tell Bus Captain Bill, it's a pleasure to see you as always, my friend. Deacon, it's very nice to see you too as well, and I hope you have a very safe and very wonderful 4th of July.
There you go. And Deacon, you do the same. You have a good 4th of July.
I will. And Bus Captain Bill, is there anything you want to say before we both skedaddle and go get a cup of coffee, a little better cup of coffee, at McDaniel's?
Ooh, there you go, guys. Maybe you can drop me off something.
Well, see, I don't have time. I got to head back to Tyler. Miss Mildred's waiting on me. She says, honey, we got some honeydew projects to do.
Oh, okay. Well, that's special. You better get back and do them. Oh, boy, you guys cracked me up.
Well, I just want to say one thing. Everybody, again, have a great 4th of July. I'm going to go head out with the deacon and go get a cup of coffee.
There you go. Y'all go do that, and y'all have a good one. We'll catch you next week. How about some Bulletproof? The Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show on a Thursday. Coffee up.
is smiling back at me. It's like all my dreams come true. I am afraid. If I lost you, girl, I'd fall through the cracks and lose my track in this crazy, lonely world. Sometimes it's so hard to believe when the nights can be so long. And faith gave me the strength, it kept me going on and on. You are the love of my life, and I'm so glad you found me. You are the love of my life. Baby, put your arms around me. I guess this is how.
Beautiful song that is. Jim Brinkman at the piano and Michael W. Smith, Love of My Life. And you're probably like, CA, what are you playing that song for? Well, I am playing that. Hang on 1 second here, guys. I am playing that simply because today it's all going to make sense. Why the Bible says that two are better than one. You go to the book of Ecclesiastes, okay, chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. Scripture says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other one up. But pity anyone who falls and has not one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one might be overpowered, two can define themselves. A cord of three strands is not broken quickly. Again, you may want to highlight that in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. You know, one of the unique things, friends, about the book of Ecclesiastes, if you get a chance to read it, is its wisdom is beneficial regardless of your belief in God. The wisdom shown in these four verses can be agreed with. even if you don't consider yourself a follower of Jesus. There are many non-Christian proverbs that support the wisdom stated in these verses. Proverbs like, two heads are better than one, and no man is an island. The writer of Ecclesiastes penned these truths thousands of years ago, before similar proverbs we commonly know today. It is truly so amazing to see the way the truth is revealed in Scripture. And they're not only true because we find them in the Bible, but the truth is the truth. So what does it mean to are better mean? You know, what does it mean that two are better? Think about that. What does that mean? Well, many allude to two are better than one, referring to marriage. And this is certainly can be applied to the partnership within marriage. But it's no means limited to the union of marriage. The principle of the two is being better than one can be applied to any partnership or aspect of life. To be alone isn't necessarily seen as negative, but when you add another person into your life, the situation is usually better. One of the key words in this verse is better. The writer is stating a better way, a more fruitful way to live life is alongside another person. Now, let me stop here at this point. I've officiated in a lot of weddings, almost 200 weddings, or maybe close to 200 weddings. And sometimes it's really the craziest thing. When you're in love, it's like the groom kind of freezes sometimes and they don't want to hold their hand out to hold the bride's hand. But there are two people joining together as one unit. I think that's what's wrong with a lot of marriages nowadays. Is I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to do all of it my way, and no communication with the wife. And we'll get into some of that on some of this discussion. Or maybe the wife wants to do it her way and not communicate with the husband. Let me tell you, if you don't have God in it, if you don't have God in the center of your relationship, and you're not going to get anywhere in your marriage. I had one guy say, well, I have four bank accounts. This is a true story. At my job, he's got four bank accounts. He's got three investment accounts, and his wife don't know anything what he does. My question to him was, without being nosy one day, I said, well, what is she thinking? You're up to something? He goes, I really don't care either way. Okay, and you've been married how long? Well, 20-something years. I'm sorry. See, I don't look at it that way. I believe, you know, your money's her money, her money's your money. I'm old school. That's what my folks had brought me up, and my grandparents were the same way. But that's kind of the lifestyle, the new norm that people are living nowadays. Now, I can understand that they have a business account and it's a separate deal. But this guy, he's talking about four different bank accounts and three different investment accounts. He's doing something with this money, but that's between him and his wife. If they're both happy that way, then so be it. I don't mean to go off the track. I'm just kind of mentioning about that. But going on into the book of Ecclesiastes, he goes on to describe different aspects in life, and when two are better than one, such as in work, during moments of weakness, basic survival, and during the moments of attack. So let's stop here just for a second. In moments of weakness, okay? We all got to work, and sadly, I don't think anybody's ever going to be able to really retire. My friend Marvin, works at a Chick-fil-A. He's 88 years old. He lost his wife. He's drawing a retirement, a 401k retirement, but he's still working. My dad, he works. You know, my dad's 78 and he works. I mean, people are still working because my dad likes to travel. My mom and dad like to travel, which God bless them. I think that's great. You need to see as much of the world as you can. But with the way Social Security is in our ages, a lot of us that are in our mid to latter part of our 50s, there ain't going to be hardly any Social Security. So we have to get creative and try to survive the best way we can. Now, I've had people say, well, how are you going to survive? You know, we're never going to be able to survive. Well, probably have to work the rest of our life. And then when we get to heaven, God's going to have work for us to do on top of that. And it's, you know, it's amazing. If you study about heaven, you'll learn more about that in this book that was out that Robert Jeffers has. It kind of gives you kind of an idea, which I encourage you to order it. He's with First Baptist Dallas. And it talks about scripture parts about working in the kingdom. So there's all kinds of cool things that's going to take place later in her life, and that's going to be forever and forever. We need to remember that. But when we're working and during moments of weakness, and again, during the moments of weakness, guys, would be maybe when your spouse, let's just flip it for a minute, maybe your wife, okay, she's having a bad day. Best advice I can give you is don't go run and make a beeline to go get a snack first. When you walk in the door, acknowledge her. Love your wife as you love the church, okay? Acknowledge her. Example, hey, honey, how is your day? Let her tell you about it. Sit down, look her out of eye, and listen to her. Don't just go bypass her to the refrigerator. The refrigerator can wait later on. Listen to her. She has needs. You need to listen as a husband, okay? Now, let's flip it. Same thing with the wife. Hi, honey, how was your day? Okay. Maybe she's done nice things of already preparing you a meal or something, okay? Or she wants to hear how your day is going when you walk in the door. Oh, I've had a rough day at blah, 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 blah. And you're, you know, and you're holding each other tight and, you know, and you're praying about things. But both couples should listen to each other. You're a unit. You're put together. God put you together, okay? And even basic survival. Let's get to that real quick. Basic survival would be finances. Maybe your finances are kind of tough right now. You know, you're getting out of COVID times right now, post-COVID, and times are tough right now. And you're struggling, and that's normal. But you're going to get through it, and you'll pray together about it. Everybody I've talked to is struggling, okay? And I'll be honest, even the rich, because I know people that are very wealthy that are struggling right now. Everybody's struggling as we try to get out of this COVID situation. We hope we do. But the key is prayer. And during moments of attack would also be when the enemy, when Satan tries to bust things up in your family circle. Don't let that happen. Work together as a unit. Work together as a team. Okay, I'm just kind of giving you a little breakdown on that point. Realize how special your partner is, your wife or your husband. And you're not competing against each other. You're loving each other, and you want to make your home a good godly home. What's the A good godly home? Yes. Christ-centered, have Christ in it. Pray for your home. Walk around and pray in your rooms. What? You do that? Yeah. Walk in and pray. Pray the enemy off. Pray together, hold hands, join hands, and pray in these rooms if you have to. That's some things to remember. You know, wisdom doesn't prove itself to be true in trivial moments. But it continues to be true over and over again in moments of temptation. It is far better to have someone beside you to keep you accountable and help you prevent from falling into sin, doing something that you shouldn't be doing, communicating with your significant other. Maybe he's weak, maybe she's weak. Example, maybe it's an alcohol situation. You don't want him to hit the bottle. Talk to him, communicate, love him, pray for him. Maybe she's hitting the bottle. Vice versa, flip it back, it's the same thing. You're working together as a unit. So don't forget that, guys. So, the statement of two being better than one is true. In many different life circumstances all across time. Now, another question that comes up is, who is the author of Ecclesiastes? Well, I can give you the answer in the book of Ecclesiastes. The author only identifies himself by a Hebrew word, and this, if I get it right, let's try to get it right. It's called Quoheleth. It's Q-O-H-E-L-E-T-H. Can be translated as a what? Preacher. There you go. The traditional view of the authorship is that King Solomon, they believe, wrote this wisdom literature. I remember when I was in Bible college, and we talked about King Solomon writing the book of Ecclesiastes. This is a view held by many scholars, which be me too, that believes that. But it's not the only view. The traditional view is called a question based on what some scholars are believing that this book is written after. Now, some scholars think that this book was written after the death of King Solomon. However, my college professor told me that it wasn't, so it's always up for a debate. We don't really want to debate it, but anyway, depending on the date ascribed in this book, the author might have been different. And some even believe that this book could have been written by multiple authors, and it could, you know. Though there are different viewpoints of the authorship of the book, the most commonly held viewed scholarship is that of King Solomon. And that's exactly what my college professor had told me many, many decades ago. Without a doubt, the book of Ecclesiastes, friends, it is unique in its style and even overall theme. That's the coolest thing about it. The context story of Ecclesiastes, let's just get to that. Chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. The beginning of the book starts off very bleakly as the author is almost shouting at the reader, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. The author is searching for significance and the meaning in the life. Now, when he finds it is that while you can search all day long, in the end, we will all die and it is worth nothing. This is much of the thread that is followed throughout the first four chapters until we arrive to verse number Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. That actually a small shift in these four verses is a glimpse of real hope. Verses 9 through 12 serve as contrasts to verse 8. If that makes any sense to y'all. There was a man all alone. He had nor son, nor brother. This too is meaningless, a miserable business. The author describes a miserable person experience when they're alone and without others in a relationship. Now let's stop here for a quick point. We've all been lonely, haven't we? I've been lonely, you've been lonely. If you've been single for a long time, if you've been divorced, you know, you're either set in your way or you don't really want to search. And that's between you and God. But when God sends you somebody, take that lead. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, take the lead. Because there is good men out there. There is good women out there that will love you and care about you. And sometimes when you throw in the towel, that's usually when God even works even harder for you behind the scenes. Because even when you're asleep at night or day or whatever shift you go to sleep on, he's working on your behalf. Just remember that. Okay? But anyway, this is a perfect setup into the great benefits of being in the community with people. You see, life is better when there's no more than one of us. But it is not in the wisdom literature that we see the benefits of the community. This is actually a principle all throughout Scripture. So biblical principles that the two are better than one. Well, see, God himself is a rational God. He exists within the community of the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the everlasting relationship with one another. In image bearers of the Trin God that we are meant to live in the community with others. Not only is the example that we have been given, but it comes with great benefits. And all throughout the New Testament, as you read and study, God is calling the body of Christ to display the glory, to share his message. This is a purpose for each believer to serve each part of the whole. So you see, friends, the mission of God is carried out throughout the whole entire body of Christ as we work together with one another. And by gathering a bunch of us fellow believers is also another benefit for us as individuals. The Bible calls for us to stay in what unity with one another, to lift one another up, to encourage one another, and to bear one another's burdens. It is within the context of the relationship that the body of Christ thrives. It's also within the community, the glory that God's shines the brightest. Two is truly better than one because this is how God created it to be. So question comes to mind is why God created us to be relationship? Well, from the beginning, God created us into the relationship with others. Not only are we to live in a relationship, friends, with other people, but with God as well. The image is explained if you go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 12. A cord is of three strands. It is not quickly broken. The three strands cord is understood to be the unity between yourself, God, and another person. It is the context of relationship shared in the unity in God that is bond that makes us stronger. As the love of Jesus pours throughout us, friends, we are better equipped to love into others. You see, the Christian faith has always been about slowly building your relationship with Jesus, but it's also been about the redemption received in Christ needs to share with others. And it is not only on this side of eternity the community will be the center focus of life, but when you get up to heaven too, our life is always going to be about the community, a bunch of body of believers that believe the same thing about Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Creator, our Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Almighty God. It is through this relationship with others and God that we truly live the life that God created for us. Fact, friends, life is better than others, not only because of the way, but it will personally benefit you, but because it is the greatest way to display the glory of God. You know, Jesus said, the greatest commandments are to love God and what to love others. This is what life's all about. The author of Ecclesiastes also says, other pursuance in life will leave you empty-handed and long for more. It's only the pursuance of loving God and loving others that will continue to fulfill His purpose in life. I hope that helps everybody. Hope that helps all of our fiancés out there, all of our married couples, all y'all getting married, that you're not meant to be alone. Let's just break it down real quick before I pray and call it for you guys on a Thursday morning. You're not, if you're alone, you're not really alone. Do you know that? What, CA? Right, you're not. You got God. But also, there are people that want to have companionship, okay? When my grandmother passed away in 1996, my grandfather, they were married 50 years. My grandfather said, I will never remarry. I'll be like the Indian. I'll die on the front porch steps of my trailer house or home out in the country. And I went, Grandpa. Well, I knew him well enough to know that that didn't happen. He went to church, met a church lady. Sadly, she wasn't really the best, but he had companionship, okay? Grandma was still a part of his life, but he wanted the companionship. Because some people want somebody, and let's just talk to married couples and people that are getting married and fiancés out there. Isn't it nice to where you can pick up the phone and talk to somebody, have a conversation? Isn't it nice to tell somebody you love them? Like, truly, I love you. I care about you. Are we seeing a lot of that nowadays? Think about it. Maybe you're in your rut where you've been married 30-something plus years. God bless you. But when was the last time you told your wife you love her? When was the last time you told her how beautiful she was, inside and out? Hey, honey, I appreciate all you do for the kids and me in cooking this meal. You know, maybe it's 110 degrees outside, and maybe she don't feel like cooking. Why don't you take her out to eat? Or then maybe one day she's going to prepare a meal for you, and you get there. Are you going to thank her? Now let's flip it to the ladies. Husband has a bad day, and you'd say, hey, handsome, how you doing? Pick up the phone and call him. Text him, whatever in today's time that we do. GIF, right? Something make them melt. So it's languages of love. And it's funny because in the early years, I never really followed that too much. I had languages of love. I seen it at the bookstore and people started talking about it. But it's true. The seven languages of love. And if you're getting married, and this is for everybody, I'll just say this before we pray. Please keep it Christ-centered. Please find a church that you feel like you would belong to and work together as a team. Don't just put it all on her back and her put it all on your back. Discuss things, communicate, and love. Peace and love. Not every day is going to be biscuits and gravy. There's going to be days where you have an argument. Well, what do? Cool off. If you live in a house, go cut the grass. If you live in an apartment, step outside and walk. If it's nice weather, go out to the gym, whatever it may be. Or let her go shop. Do something. Give her a breather. Maybe you need a breather too. But come back and get an immediate fix. Don't let it lag. You let it lag, you have problems. And it just gives Satan more time to swoop in and bust you up. Is that worth it? No. Keep it Christ-centered. Period. It's always been my philosophy. Okay? All right, I hope that can help you. Thank you guys so much for listening on a Thursday. And let's lead off in prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for all you do. Father God, we love you so much. Be with us, guide us, watch over and protect us. For we ask all this in your precious name. Amen. All right, guys, this is CA on the iHeartRadio Network. Remember, the sun rises on the other side. Another thing I want you to do is enjoy life. LIFE! Y'all have a good day. Bye for now.